Angelia Petrillo of the Hazleton-based nonprofit Pathway to Recovery is on a quest to help people quit smoking. She hears all about the pitfalls and deterrents holding people back from quitting, but there are ways to be more proactive and successful in giving up tobacco. Angelia Petrillo takes the story from here.
Pathway to Recovery, we do a wide range of mental health services as well as outpatient services. We also have a prevention department, which is what I'm here to talk about today. And Pathway to Recovery's prevention department provides comprehensive, evidence-based tobacco cessation services through our partnership with the American Lung Association. We use their Freedom from Smoking program, and we delivered structured support, counseling, education, and access to cessation tools, all for zero cost.
You were telling me that you can do it in very unique ways so that people won't miss a session.
Yeah, so initially we'll have them come in for an information session, and then sometimes we'll operate in a group format. If that doesn't work for someone, we can meet them one-on-one, wherever they'd like, at home, in public. If you want to meet over the phone once a week, we can call you on the phone, if Zoom works best for you, if you need a combination of all of those.
Tell me about the cessation program. We were talking about how sometimes you're seeing a lot of younger people coming in and saying that vaping is okay instead of smoking. We're finding out that that's not the case.
Yeah, correct. We do partner with some of the high schools in the area. If kids are caught vaping, we'll help to re-educate them. You can also give us a call, right? There's no age limit for wanting to quit tobacco. You will often see us sometimes out at healthcare events, senior fairs, offering education services. We will do gambling prevention for seniors. So we talk a lot about, you know, the dangers of gambling, why seniors are at risk for that. We also have a program where we talk about that for teens as well. You don't realize that now with the phones, you have access to so much, and sometimes gambling doesn't even look like gambling. We'll also do internet safety for teenagers. We've done poison control for seniors, also for children. We've gone out to scout troops. If you are a scout leader and you want to have a little session on drugs and alcohol or anti-gambling or internet safety, you can give us a call and we can set that up for free.
How do you know when someone is suffering from an addiction, and when do they?
It comes into not only how much you are using it or how often, but what are you sacrificing for it? Is it affecting your job? Is it affecting your family, your finances, your hobbies? Are you choosing to use whatever the addiction is to deal with something? Are you using it as a coping mechanism? Is it okay for a 21-year-old or someone over the age of 21 to go out and have a drink responsibly? Of course it is. Is it healthy for someone to run to alcohol if they are depressed or going through a hard time? No. Is it okay to have a couple drinks multiple times a week every night when you get out of work? No. So I think it's all about your attitude around it. How is it impacting your life? Are you losing friends? You know, is your attitude changing? Are you falling off on your normal habits? You know, how much, how often, how is it affecting you?
So how do you tactfully and professionally approach a person and say, you need some help?
If it was my friend, I think I would offer them the resources that I can. Unfortunately, you can't force anyone to get help. I'm lucky enough to have come from a family where the adults in my life have chosen to get sober. So I really understand the value of that. And I am lucky enough to have never have seen addiction. But I also know that you can't force someone to get help.
There seems to be a domino effect, though, with addiction, because it's not only impacting the individual directly, but it's also impacting their family, their work life, their social life. All these little dominoes are just kind of toppling over.
Correct.
It's hard to get into that pattern, but sometimes do you find it's just as hard to get out of that pattern?
Oh, of course. Any pattern is hard to get out of, whether it's addiction, whether it's wanting to exercise daily, you know, and get off your couch. It takes a lot of willpower. And that's where programs like Pathway to Recovery, we can help give people the resources that they need. The LGBTQIA plus community is more susceptible to addiction. So the American Lung Association, the other companies that we have partnerships with, they want us to reach those communities, right? So you will see us at Berwick Pride. You will see us at Pride Fest on the square in Wilkes-Barre having a booth. You will see us a lot of times, the Rainbow Alliance, during Pride Month or Queer NEPA. Some of the local organizations, they'll have movie nights at the Dietrich Theater. So we do try to be present. it's not just the LGBTQIA plus community. It is also minorities. It is people with low income. All of these people are more susceptible and more prone to addiction and to using tobacco. If you look at the amount of tobacco licenses within a 2-mile radius, they are so much more in the areas where the median income is lower. You will find way more tobacco stores and vape shops than you will in more affluent neighborhoods. And that is for sure on purpose. The main program is our cessation program that we really want people to know about it. It's an 8-week structured program. We have it facilitated by someone from our office who is certified. I am one of them. We identify your nicotine addiction, the triggers. We talk about not only how to get off nicotine, but what is the reason for your addiction? A lot of the times it is stress. A lot of the times it is habitual. So before we even ask them to quit, we ask them to go through your day. Let's identify what is making you want to smoke. When do you smoke? At what times of day? We work on coping strategies. We work on stress management. We use a peer support model to increase accountability. Pathway to Recovery's prevention department provides nicotine replacement therapy. So lozenges, gum, the patches, sometimes teas. There's a menthol candy that tastes like menthol and curbs cravings for people. Regular ways to support, and then a lot of out-of-the-box ways as well.
What are some of the out-of-the-box methods you use to try to get people to stop smoking?
Paying attention to your schedule. Having an accountability buddy. Breathing exercises. Taking up yoga, exercising, meditating. It's allowing you to be mindful and step back inside of your body and be aware of what you're doing. Once you're able to have that awareness and have insight, then it's a little easier for you to tackle that.
Everybody reacts differently to stress. Stress at work, stress at home, stress in the current climate that we're in. Everybody's a little bit antsy. And so that's the perfect excuse.
Yes.
And so how do you talk them out of not doing it?
It's individualized. One of the facts I always like to use is that it takes the average adult 8 to 10 times to quit smoking. That is a huge amount. You might hear someone say, I tried to quit smoking once or twice, or it was really hard. The average person is 8 to 10 times, which means it might take you 20 times even to quit smoking. You know, I've had chronic smokers who have smoked for 50, 60 years. And they have COPD, they're really having a hard time quitting, and they've had to repeat the program. In repeating the program, they would comment to me, I still am smoking 3 cigarettes a day, or I still feel the need to smoke at this time. Even though the goal is complete cessation, in reality, if you're on that journey and you're going from a pack and a half a day to 3 cigarettes a day, that's progress. That's to be celebrated. And then let's work on getting rid of those 3 cigarettes a day next. So we really tailor it to the person, what this person needs. We get to know these people. And in that, everyone is different. So you might have someone that is able to just put everything down and just wants to talk and wants to support and wants that accountability. Maybe someone else really needs baby steps and, you know, little kernels of success to reach the ultimate success. And so either way, we're here.
Now, this is an 8-week course, and a person maybe goes through it successfully and they've stopped smoking. What is the reward for them?
Self-satisfaction. Your lungs are working better. You're going to smell better. Your risk of heart disease is dropping. Your risk of lung cancer is dropping. You're able to run with your children or your grandchildren or walk your pet longer. So the reward is how much more you're able to enjoy and take in life. And more of a sense of accomplishment. They know that they can do it, right? And even if it's someone that wasn't 100% successful, 80% success is better than 0%, right? And also the overall energy coming from this person is going to be a lot better because they're experiencing the world at a higher level.
You know, you're getting a chance to meet a lot of people at a lot of different phases in their lives, hurdles that they're trying to overcome. And when they do overcome them, it's satisfaction for them. But what does it do for you personally?
I love helping people quit smoking cigarettes. I've had a grandmother that passed away from lung cancer. Both my parents smoked. My dad has been off cigarettes, though, for over 10 years. My mom still does. And, you know, it's something that I've always detested. The sheer amount of money and time and dedication that goes into advertising for big tobacco and the way that they almost want to trap people, it seems so wrong. I feel like I'm helping with justice. How dare these people in big tobacco be promoting a product that is detrimental to so many Americans? I think for me, it's almost like I'm part of a fight that I'm proud to be a part of. If you ever traveled to another country and you saw the cigarette packages, they are not pretty. They have a warning label on it, and they'll often show pictures of mouth cancer, gum cancer, babies in neonatal, right? Really horrible images are straight on these packages in Canada and Mexico. And that goes to say something about where we're living and the time that we're living in, right? Because the warning label on our cigarettes is so small that we can hardly see it. Yet the effect is so big. I guarantee almost everyone in this world knows someone that either smokes and or is affected by a disease or issue from smoking.
In the time that you've been with this nonprofit organization, what have you learned about the people that you help that makes you feel stronger about you?
I mean, I think that what keeps being reinforced to me is that we are all humans trying our best, and the world is hard and everyone has vices. The main thing I learn is just because I necessarily don't use tobacco doesn't necessarily mean that I can't benefit from some of the things that I'm teaching as well. So I learn a lot from the people who I meet with.
If someone is interested in your smoking cessation program, whether an individual or a group, how do they get in touch with you?
If anyone would like to quit smoking, they can give us a call at 570-455-9902. Also, if you are a business and you want to implement a quit smoking policy for your business or employees, if you are a company and you want to have cessation programs once a week during a lunch hour, you can reach out to us. We can set those up for you. It's something that we have to do to continue letting people know that there is help out there.
Special thanks to Angelia Petrillo of Pathway to Recovery, a nonprofit organization based in Hazleton dedicated to all types of therapy and programs in smoking cessation, giving those who wish to go tobacco-free directions to a new pathway to success and good health. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.